If I can entitle my message today, I entitle it the weight of waiting. Everybody say the weight of waiting. You know, sometimes waiting can be really exhausting. You know, waiting can be really tiring. It drains your energy, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you name it. Okay, waiting can be very, very draining. And sometimes, right, waiting can be excruciating. Especially, huh, you had a long day. Huh? You had a long day in work, you want to go home, you just want to hit the bed really. You know, meetings after meetings, and then you start your car, you drive back. Suddenly, just after you leave your office, there's a bad jam. And then you open your phone and check your ways. Alamak, 2 hours. 2 hours until you reach home. There's suddenly the weight of waiting suddenly become even realer in your life. And it can even be even more excruciating when what happens? When you have stomach pain. Especially in JAMA, when you have stomach pain, I tell you, you will become the holiest person on earth. You will start praying all kinds of prayer. Lord, if you would just smoothen out this jam for me, I will serve you forever. How many of you prayed that kind of prayer? Don't raise up your hand. I know. I was one of them. You know, I prayed that kind of prayer. I'm like, God, please, God, it's coming out, Lord. Sudah sampai custom lah. You know, and then the jam is 2 hours. You're fighting for the closest R&R or Shell station. Nothing. And then you become the holiest person in the world. God, if you do this for me, I'll serve you forever. You know, you become the most powerful prayer warrior. You know. But that is the weight of waiting, because it has become so real to you that you are in a dire situation. It becomes urgent, right? And sometimes when we come into this kind of position and situation, right, it can really be tiring. It can really be tiring and exhausting. And I don't know how many of you here are actually in a season of waiting. It could have, you know, it could be, I'm not just talking about traffic jams, okay? I'm talking about if you're in a waiting, you're probably in a season of waiting for your miracle. Probably in a season of waiting for your breakthrough. Probably waiting for God to answer you or waiting for a direction. You're in a season of waiting and praying. And today, I just want to encourage all of you that are in this season right now, that don't stop holding on to Jesus. Don't stop believing. If God can turn Malaysia around for our good, what God cannot do for you and I, as His children, as His sons and daughters? Probably you have been sitting here, it could have been weeks, it could have been months, it could have been years that you've been waiting. But can I encourage you, church, no matter how long that you have been waiting, can we still continue to hold and be steadfast and be immovable, holding on to the promises that He has already given us, knowing that no matter what, God, You will indeed come true for me. Some of us probably, I mean, I'm just 28 this year, but many of you have lived so much longer than me. You have been praying for Malaysia years after years after years after years, disappointments after disappointments after disappointments. But this year, the Lord answered your prayer. This year, the Lord showed up for Malaysia. And I tell you, if God can do that, where people have been praying for years, 20 years, 30 years, I do not know. But if God can do that for Malaysia, God can do that for you. Probably some of you here sitting here, you have been praying for a miracle, whether it's a baby or a salvation of your family members. You've been in the season of waiting. Let me tell you something. Don't give up. Hold on. Be steadfast. Be immovable. The Lord is still in charge. The Lord is still in control. And He is a good God. God is a good God. He never fails. The God that we serve never fails. Man may fail, my friend, but God never fails. Man facts can be shaken, but God's fact, God's promises cannot be shaken. If the Lord has promised you, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Just continue to hold on, be steadfast, and be immovable. And that is why the word of the Lord, I want to release this word to all those that are in the season of waiting. This is the word for you. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That is the word. That's the promises of God for you and I that in the season of waiting. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from the Lord. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you come and wait on the Lord and yield yourself to Him, a divine exchange takes place. A transformation takes place. That weight or waiting that is upon your shoulder, that heaviness on your shoulder, when you come in the presence of the Lord, as you wait upon God, you are giving Him your yoke and He's giving you His yoke. And when that divine exchange takes place, my friend, when that divine exchange takes place, you'll be in feather weight. You'll be feather light. And let Jesus do the heavy lifting for you. Let Jesus do the heavy lifting for you. You're not supposed to carry all these weights on your shoulder. Let Jesus carry for you. He's saying in this word, when you are weak, I am strong. So for all those that are in the waiting season, let Jesus give Him your yoke, for His yoke is easy, for His yoke, His burden is light. Therefore, you don't have to feel like, oh, I need to do this, oh, I need to do that. The pressure's on me, you know, the expectations on me. No, you can surrender your burden. You can surrender it unto the Lord. Let the weight of waiting be upon Him. Can I hear an amen, please? Oftentimes, when we say waiting on God, right? We have this picture in our head. When we say wait on God, people somehow have this picture in their heads, right? Even me, when I was, you know, a younger Christian, I always think, okay, wait on God means like go into the room, sit down, rest, and then just close your eyes, like probably on a reclining chair and just do nothing. You know, then we wait for God to move. But if you have been in the faith for quite some time, you would have, in your experience, you would have known that God usually, oftentimes, as you wait on God, God usually doesn't move for you, but He moves through you. Amen? He chooses to move through you, through your circumstances, through your situation. He moves through you so that you can see the Lord using you for victory. That is the God that we serve. And you know the word wait here, right? The word wait here, in just now we read in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, the word can be translated in so many different meanings in different contexts. But the word wait here in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, in the Hebrew word, right, it derives from the meaning of great anticipation, great expectation. So what does this mean? What does this mean? When we wait upon the Lord, as we lean in towards the presence of the Lord, it creates an anticipation and expectation to hear His voice. That's what happens when we wait upon the Lord. A great expectation arises in your heart, in your spirit, that God is about to speak. I'm not going to miss out in His voice. I'm not going to miss out in that moment, because when He speaks, things start moving. When He speaks, things start changing. My life will never remain the same. Ever again. Church, do you realize one thing? Every single one of us are not just here to come to church to hear a good word and go home. We are not just here to listen to some awesome sermon and go home. No, we are all here to have an encounter with the one that we behold. We are all here to look at the face of Jesus. You know, just I mentioned, right, that in the Greek word, wait, it actually means with great anticipation. Do you know the Greek word for presence is face? So when you come into the presence of God, you're actually coming in face to face with God. Wow, can I hear an amen, please? So when you come to church, it is not because, oh, Pastor Rajan is watching me. If I don't come to church, he's going to text me, call me, or Pastor Boy is going to fall out with me. No, we are here because we are so in love with Jesus and we just want more of Him. There is no one in the room. There is no one in the room that has enough of Jesus. No one. You can be a Christian for 30 years or even 3 months. No matter how long you have been a believer, everyone needs more of Jesus. Everyone needs more of Jesus until the day we are brought back home. We all need more of Him. And that is why when we come into the presence of God, when we wait upon the Lord, let that great anticipation and expectation arise in your heart so that when He speaks, you are present. God is not looking for an anointed one. God is looking for a present one. Can I hear an amen, please? He's looking for somebody that is willing to be present. You can be equipped with so many talents and so anointed, but if you're not present, it doesn't mean anything. God is looking for somebody that is willing to pay the price to go into His presence and say, Lord, I'm willing to yield myself to You. Lord, I'm willing to wait on You. As you wait on the Lord, the great anticipation, the great expectation to hear the voice of the Lord starts brewing in your spirit. And then you start hearing the voice of God. Can I hear an amen, please? Waiting isn't about inactivity. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about inactivity. Yeah, it's not about inactivity. Inactivity means not doing anything. It's not about that. The activity of waiting involves refining our focus to the one that our hope is in. That is what the activity of waiting is. Waiting is not inactivity, okay? Waiting is not passive. Waiting is actually active. Come on, it's not just sitting down there on the reclining chair thinking that Jesus will come back for you and you do nothing. You know? No, when you wait upon the Lord, there is a refining focus towards stewarding you, pointing you towards more of Jesus. And when the Lord refines your focus and brings you to His presence, and when you are in His presence, all that used to be weighing you down no longer matters anymore. No longer matters anymore. That weight that you've been feeling on the as you are waiting, that weight is no longer a problem anymore. It no longer matters anymore. Because you know why? Your eyes are fixed on Jesus. Your mind is fixed on Jesus. Your heart is fixed on Jesus. Your thoughts are fixed on Jesus. Everything about you circles around Jesus. So therefore, when everything around you is fixed on Jesus, nothing else in your environment, in your situation matters anymore. Because Jesus is so beautiful and you just get so captured by His beauty, so captured by His glory. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to just love and just capture the beauty of God and continue to love Him and worship Him. Amen, church. Are you still here with me? You guys like watching movie like that? You know, when you truly come and engage with the Lord, there is always something that takes place in your prayer. There is always something. You know, a divine exchange takes place. A transformation takes place. If you engage with the Lord, if you engage with the Lord and seek the Lord, okay, and you feel the same as before you enter into His presence, then let me tell you something. You are not praying, you're complaining. Somebody say, ouch or amen. You have been complaining in the presence of God rather than praying in the presence of God. When you seek the Lord with all your heart, the Lord reveals His nature to you. The Lord reveals His plan, His will to you. And that is why when you earnestly seek Him, you will find Him. You will find Him. You will hear His voice. And that things will start taking place. Transformation taking place. Whatever that you have been feeling, that weightiness of your waiting in that season, as you come into the presence of the Lord, you give that weight unto Jesus. And Jesus give you His burden and His yoke that is easy and light. A transformation takes place. So that is why as you wait upon the Lord, you may be feeling like, I don't want to pray. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't want to worship. I just want to get my problem solved. Let me tell you something. Your solution is found in the presence. Your solution is not found somewhere else. Your solution is found in Him. He is the solution. Sometimes we go to Jesus, we pray. God, give me a solution. Give me a solution. Where Jesus is standing there and saying, I am the solution. What are you looking for? Many times we go into the presence of God, we look for the things that comes from the hand of God rather than the face of God. We come for what He can give rather than who He is. And if we come in that attitude, in that manner, we are missing out in what the Lord has in store for you and I as His sons and daughters. A transformation definitely takes place. Something has to happen. When Jesus is in the room, things will start to change. Things start changing. It cannot remain the same. It cannot. You may not see it. You may not hear it. You may not feel it. You may not understand it, but I can I just encourage you that you can surely rest assured that something is indeed happening. Because you know why? Your trust is not in man. Your trust is in the Lord. This is the word of God, not my word. He said, those who trust, put their trust in me, they will not be put to shame. So if you say, today, God, I choose to trust in you no matter how dire my situation is, let me tell you something. You are putting your trust in firm foundation. And He is the God that will see you through. He is the God that will bring you to your breakthrough. Many a times we look for God and we'll look for God to deliver us from the storm. But many a times He just wants us to realize that He is in the storm with us. That's the God that we serve. As you wait upon the Lord, the refined focus brings you clearer to His voice, clearer to His person, clearer to His being. And then you can get so captured by who He is and what He does that everything else no longer matter anymore, because your season of waiting in the hands of the Lord is going to be over. Can I hear an amen? Your miracle is found in Him. Your healing is found in Him. Your provision is found in Him. Your restoration is found in Him. Everything and anything that you need is found in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the God that we serve. That's the King that we serve. The weight of waiting can look and feel so real and heavy. And sometimes, right, you may feel like you're losing. You're losing in this battle. You're losing your faith. You're losing, you know, you feel like you're on the losing side. But in reality, you're actually winning. In reality, you're actually winning. What you are not seeing now, catch this, church, what you're not seeing now doesn't determine what you will not see later. Amen. Pretty quiet, church. What you're not seeing now doesn't determine what you will not see later. When you put your hope and your trust in Jesus as you are in the season of waiting, your eyes may not have seen, your ears may not have heard, but let me tell you something, you can be assured, something is indeed happening. This is what Pastor Rajan always says, your waiting time is not wasted time, your waiting time is God's working time. Amen? Amen? Come on, church, can you respond to me and help me preach today? That's the God that we serve. He's the God that never fails. As we trust and put our faith in Him, He will see us through. And that is why we all need the lens of God. I want you to picture this. Some of you are probably wearing glasses. I don't wear glasses, so I can't really use that. But I want you to picture that God is giving you a glasses. Okay, a glasses, and that represents the lens of God. So that you can start seeing from His perspective. You can start seeing from His perspective on what He is doing in your life. Because you may not understand it. You may not feel it. But God understands it. Okay? God knows. That is why in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, He says, "For I know the plans I have for you." You may not know, but He knows. That's the God that we serve. You may not understand where your future may go. You may not know what's the direction that you need to take. What action you need to do. But let me tell you something. He knows. That's why He started with the word, "For I know the thoughts I have towards you," says the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." You can rest assured that your future is full of hope. That's the God that we serve. Amen. We're in a season of waiting, and waiting time is a beautiful time. You know, waiting on God is something so precious and beautiful. Because you know why? In the process of our waiting on our solutions and all that things to happen and breakthroughs to take place in our life, we are actually beholding the One. We are actually looking towards the face of God, beholding the beauty of Jesus. And that is the most valuable and precious thing that we can ever ask for. Who are we? Come on, church. Who are we to have that experience with God, to hear the voice of God, to experience His presence? You know, in the olden days in the Bible, you know, only the holiest people, the priest, the high priest, can enter into the presence. And if you have sinned in your life, you'll fall dead. You'll fall dead in the presence. Yet every single one of us now here, we have total 100% access to the Father. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good? That is the good news, church. Come on. That is the good news. What more do we need? What more are we seeking for? If we can have all of Jesus, what else do we need? If we can have all of Him and just look at Him forever, this is my question for you, church. Are you going to be satisfied? Are you going to be satisfied if you are able to just look at Jesus and nothing else forever and ever for the rest of your life? Will you be satisfied? It's easy to say yes. It's easy to, you know, say yes and not you know, give up everything. But let me tell you something. If you have come to that place and say, Jesus, it's all about You. Nothing else matters anymore. I'm living for You. I'm breathing for You. I'm telling you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then, this is good news for you. All things. Everybody say all things. All things. What is all things? In the Hebrew, all means all. All things means all things. Every single thing will be added unto you. But what you need to do first, seek Him. Seek Him. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Pursue after His presence. Pursue after Jesus. We all need a God perspective in our life, so that we can maneuver, so that He can maneuver us, especially in our season of waiting. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And one of the best example, you know, is found in this story, okay? In Joshua chapter 6, verse 2 to 5, it's talking about the story of the wall of Jerusalem. I believe many of us are very familiar with this. But I want to bring this story in, okay? Can we read Joshua chapter 6, verse 2 onwards? He says, and the Lord said to Joshua, what's the first word? See. Come on, church, respond to me. What's the first word?
See.
See. Hey. See, I have given Jericho into your hand and its king and the mighty man of valor. Let's stop there. The key word here is see. You see, out of so many things the Lord could have told Joshua first, but He told Joshua, see. Why? Because God wanted Joshua to have his perspective first, even before the battle started. God wanted Joshua to see the outcome of the battle. God wanted Joshua to see from his lens. God wanted Joshua to see from his perspective. That is why it's so important that God said to Joshua, see. See what? See, Joshua, that I have given Jericho into your hand. It's king and the mighty man of valor. God is giving Joshua his perspective. Let's continue reading verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7 day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass. Yet again, God reminded Joshua, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. That was the instruction given by the Lord to Joshua. Very clear, very specific, very detailed instruction, okay? For the vision of the Lord to come to pass in the life of Joshua and his people. And I know, if many of us were Joshua, if we receive such instruction from the Lord, right, probably we get scared. Probably we would start doubting, huh? Yes, sir, God. Huh? What are you talking about? You asked me to march around the city 7 days, and then on the seventh day to march around 7 times, then the wall will naturally just come down like that. Cannot lah, God. Tak boleh lah tu, jangan tipu. Betul tak? Every single one of us will start having doubts in our hearts. Like, hey, how God? It's not even logical. It doesn't make sense. But hey, church, since when we are called to follow sense? Hey, since when we are called to follow our logical mind, we are called to be led by the Spirit of God. We are called to live by faith, not by sense. Hallelujah. We're called to live by faith. So when God tells this to Joshua, thankfully, Joshua is not like some of us, including me sometimes. And Joshua obeyed the Lord without question. Go read. All right, go read Joshua chapter 6. Joshua didn't even question God. He didn't even ask God, God, why, Lord God? Why 7 times, not 8 times? You know, all the kind of random questions. I believe if I were the person, I would ask God a ton of questions. God, give one instruction, I ask back 10 questions. But yet, Joshua obeyed. He just obeyed. And he did what he was told. And true enough, if you know the story, true enough, what happened? On the seventh day, they marched the 7th time, the ram's horn was blown, and the walls came tumbling down. God's way might not make sense to you, but let me tell you, it is still God's way. Hello? God's way, God's method might not make sense to you, but it is still God's method. He is still control, and He is still in charge. And some of us here, we are in this season of waiting. We get so tired and exhausted that we've been praying and praying and praying and nothing seems to be happening. We are like walking around the walls of Jerusalem for the 50 and then say, oh God, doubt started rising in your heart. And you're like, God, I don't want anymore. I don't believe. You know, I don't want to walk around the wall anymore. But yet, you're so close to your destiny. You're so close to your breakthrough. Some of you are already walking on the 6th day, the 6th round. And then you say, God, not gonna work lah. Maybe I heard wrong lah, the voice of God. Maybe I didn't hear God rightly lah. Don't know lah. And then after that, you just stop waiting. But let me tell you something. Because Joshua chose to persevere and obey the Lord, he saw his breakthrough. And I want to encourage you, church, if you are in this season of waiting right now, don't give up on the 5th day. Don't give up on the 6th day. If the Lord tell you on the 7th day and on the 7th round, the wall's going to come down, you better walk 7 days and 7 times and you will see the wall coming down for you. Come on, church. Can I hear an amen, please? When God tells you something, don't try to do a shortcut. God is not a shortcut, God. All right? He's not a shortcut, God. When He tells you 7 days, don't give up on the 6th. And some of us, right, when we give up and when doubt arises in our heart, anxiousness arises in our heart, you know what this is called? Unbelief. Unbelief start rising in your heart. And if we as a church has unbelief, we need to repent. Because let me tell you something, most of the time, our breakthrough is on the other side of your unbelief. Your breakthrough is on the other side of your unbelief. So if you have unbelief in this place, come back to the place and ask God, God, I repent. I choose to think otherwise. I choose to believe what You have promised me and in store for me. Joshua was steadfast in obeying the voice of God. No question asked. And he did it. That's why he saw the breakthrough. Joshua persevered even when he don't see it. He persevered even when he don't feel it. He persevered even though I believe he don't understand it. But yet, because he chose to stick on, hold on, be steadfast, be immovable, he saw his breakthrough coming to pass. He saw the walls of Jericho coming down. Why? Because Joshua saw from God's perspective. Joshua was wearing the lens of God. So today, church, I want to encourage you. Don't just wear your spectacles, but wear on the lens of God. Somebody laughing from behind, I hear, can hear. Wear on, Samjit. Wear on the lens of God. Amen. Don't just play drums and shake here, shake there. Wear on the lens of God. And then you will start seeing from God's perspective. You will start seeing whatever that you have been waiting for coming to pass, breakthrough taking place. Amen? Amen. When we yield ourselves to the Lord, we start seeing the way God sees. When we start waiting on the Lord, we start hearing what He's speaking. We start speaking what is in His heart. That's what happens. That is why Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things, yet again, see, all things, you know, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. When you wait upon the Lord, that refined focus will just help you single out the very one that your heart is inclined to. What does it mean? It means that God becomes your only priority. What does it mean? It means that when God is number one, there is no number two. When God is plan A, there is no such thing as plan B. It's either you are all in or all out. God becomes your only solution and your only option. That's what happens when you say, God, I choose to wait on you, and you are the only one that's going to come true for me, because you are the only one that can. Come on. Sometimes we are waiting for our situation to turn better through logical ways and stuff like that. But let me tell you something. No. Stop wasting your time. Turn to the Lord. The Lord can accelerate. Everybody say accelerate. Accelerate in your life for you to see your breakthrough. Choose to wait on Him. That's what happens when you wait on the Lord. That refined focus brings you towards the one that you behold. That is why Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13, it says, and you seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for God all your heart, you know, not your experiences, okay, not your understanding, with all your heart, you will find Him. That is why even in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your understanding, your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge everything. Realize or not, it says all again. Why? It's because your breakthrough is not dependent on your experience. Hello? Your breakthrough is dependent on the one that has given you the experience. In the one moment of encounter with the Lord, that's all you need. You can hear 1,000 sermons and nothing changes. You can read the Bible front and back to front, nothing changes. But one moment from the encounter from the Lord, things start changing. Things start changing. Some of us read the Bible, right? We just read for the sake of reading. But the Word is not going in. The Word is not, seeping in through. It's not sinking in. Then we have missed out the purpose of reading the Word of God. But when the Word of God, I tell you, you can just read one verse. I'm telling you, you can just read one verse and the entire Word starts reading you, and that it starts coming alive, and the Word start becoming active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You will start realizing, wow, God, this is my breakthrough. This is my breakthrough. Some of us, we have read the Bible, you know, finished. How many of you have completed reading your Bible? Come on, be honest. If you don't have, don't raise up your hand. No judgment here. But let this be a challenge for you. In 2023, can we all read, finish the Bible at least one time? From front to back, cover to cover. Don't miss out anything. I know there are parts, right? Quite boring. Especially this fellow be God, that fellow be God. That whole paragraph just be God. And then you're like, oh, yo, God, no need to read. I tell you, even the genealogy of Jesus is important. God can even speak to you through the genealogy. Genealogy. Okay? So don't miss out. Cover to cover, front to back. Let it be a challenge for you in 2023. All those that agree, say amen. Oh, amen. Very loud. I like. Amen. You say amen one, not me, so you better read. Okay? Your waiting has a purpose. It has a meaning. You're not just waiting aimlessly, church. You're not just waiting for nothing. Your waiting has a meaning. Your waiting has a purpose. And I believe that as you wait, your mind and your heart will start getting aligned for the glory of God, so that His will start looking like your will. His will be done over your life. His will becomes your will. That is why Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, If you're not confident of your life, you're not confident of you of the future, you can be very confident of the word of God and the voice of God, because he never fails. So if he says, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, come on church, hold on to it. Because if he has started, he's the one that's completing it. Not you, my friend. You can do whatever you want, and you cannot complete the work that he has started, because he is the one that started, he is the one that's going to finish it. That's the God that we serve. As year 2022 is about to end and we are moving into 2023, I believe that there are places in our life that we have yet to see a breakthrough. We have yet to see a breakthrough. But as a church, as a family, can we contend together with the Lord in the presence of the Lord as we wait upon the Lord? Can we contend together and say, Lord, I want to see this breakthrough. And I know that this breakthrough can only be found in you. Can we come together as a family to contend together for our breakthrough? It might not even be a personal breakthrough. Somebody in your family needs to know Jesus. Contend for that person. Bring that person for Christmas service. And I believe he or she will be saved. Every opportunity is given from the Lord. Don't despise even little opportunities. Come before the Lord and contend together for your friends, for your family, and for yourself. Don't be discouraged if your breakthrough has yet taken place. Don't. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Yet again, it says all. I love when the Bible says all. So I can rest assured it literally means all. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. To the glory of God through us. I believe as we wait on the Lord with great anticipation and expectation, the Lord will burst through on our behalf. How many of you like that? You know, can I have the worship team? I'm going to end. I'm going to come to a close. When David faced the Philistine, you know, all of you know the story of David and Goliath, right? Right? Yes. Oh, okay. I'm in the right church. Okay. We all know the story of David and Goliath. But when David was facing the Philistine in the valley is called Valley of Rephaim. Okay? Valley of Rephaim. You know, as he chose to stand for God, you know, he saw God used him. David saw God used him to burst through in his enemies and win the victory on Israel's behalf. Because the Lord burst through that on behalf of David, David renamed the Valley of Rephaim to Baal Perazim. What is Valley of Rephaim? Valley of Rephaim simply means the Valley of Giants. What is Baal Perazim? Baal Perazim means the Valley of the Lord who burst through for me. Isn't that amazing? From the Valley of Giants to the Valley of the Lord who burst through for me. And I believe, just like David, God is with you and God is for you. All of heaven is backing you up. All of heaven is ready to burst through for you on your behalf. Heaven is breaking at the seams. He's breaking through our churches, our cities, and our culture. And he's waiting upon your yes. He's waiting upon you as you come into the presence of the Lord. The force of heaven behind you is greater than whatever that you're facing in front of you. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we serve. So for all those of you that are in the season of waiting, Psalms chapter 27 verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Double emphasis. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Before we enter into 2023, can I encourage all of us that as we wait upon the Lord with this great expectation and anticipation, I really believe the Lord is positioning all of us into moving into something greater and far more extraordinary for what is about to come for you and I as a church, as a body of Christ. Can we stand to our feet, church? You know, today, before we partake of the communion as a family, I don't know who I'm talking to, but when I was praying, when I was preparing, I keep feeling the tugging that somebody here needs to hear this message. And if you're in that season of waiting with all eyes closed, every head bowed, I don't want anyone to look around. I want you to make a commitment to the Lord. I know you are tired, you're exhausted in waiting. The weight of waiting is real. But I want you to make a fresh commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to wait on you. I'm willing to come to the presence and wait on you, Lord. Because as I wait on you, you are refining my focus to you and you alone. Not about my problems, not about the things I'm going through. All across this place, come on. Don't be distracted. Let the Lord minister to you wherever you are. Let the Lord speak to you. I really believe that this evening the Lord wants to speak to some of you and want to minister to some of you and want to touch some of you tonight. Don't miss your moment, church. Don't miss your moment. We can come in and go out to from church and act like nothing happened, but God is in the room, and when God is in the room, things cannot remain the same. And now is the moment for you. It is your moment right now. Don't miss your moment, church. The Lord is moving. The Holy Spirit is speaking. He's giving some of you an assurance and affirmation in your heart that He is with you, that He is for you. Father, I just lift up every single one of us here in this place. For those that are in the season of waiting, Lord, I pray, Lord Father, that you will refine your focus with great anticipation and expectation, knowing that God, you are still in control and you are still in charge. And that as they wait on you, Lord Father, just like Joshua, they will continue to walk around the wall of Jericho and they will see their breakthrough. They will see the hand of God over their lives. They will see the promises of God coming to pass in their life. Father, I bless every single one of them. As they are in those seats of waiting, let the weight of waiting be lifted from them. I bless every person in this place, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen.